So just before I begin, I want to just take a moment to a bit of a praise report. I want to thank all those people who have been praying for my health, who have stood with me in person and prayed with me, had the faith that I at times haven't had regarding getting through having shingles. So I can actually say as I stand here now that I am feeling... Yeah, there's definitely a shift and a turn. So thank you so much for your prayers. So I just want to acknowledge you and also God's goodness. I feel able to stand up here and be a little more whole than I have been. So if you weren't here last week, we are leaning into our core values. We're kind of revisiting these things that we consider to be an important part of Cornerstone Church. We've held to them for some time, but we thought, perhaps with newer folk amongst us, that we would revisit these and look at what they are. And so they are on the screen above as follows: growing, reaching, authentic, creative. To that we've added community or community and creative, empowering and equipping. So these are things that we have identified some time ago, but we feel it's appropriate to revisit them now, and so we're just working our way through them. They form an acronym of GRACE. So we feel that for these to be woven into our church culture, it's going to require grace on our part. We're going to need the loving grace of God in each one of us as he weaves us together, because we need that unity of spirit to function well in these things. So we cannot do this without the grace of God in us and amongst us. So we looked at last week that first core value of growing, and we looked at the way in which we are to grow in our relationship through Jesus with God as individuals, as disciples, but also corporately as a church. And Kate spoke about that and I spoke about that, and we're going to do the same sort of thing this morning. We're both going to speak. So before Kate comes up and speaks, I want to just touch upon or highlight three different aspects that I've been able to identify in the Bible, in the New Testament actually, from the book of John and the book of Acts. So that's where we're going this morning. So the first of these things is sending. And we have this verse, which is, again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I'm sending you." This is actually part of a story that John gives us. And so maybe if I paint a bit more of a picture around it, I'll give it some context. What I appreciated actually about Sue getting up this morning and being vulnerable and sharing about about Vic, I could see how much he was enjoying that, is just John, who writes this gospel, his own honesty and his account of what's going on, because this is what's going on for him at the time. And it's occurring, this particular verse comes from the evening which the disciples are gathered together in a room and they've locked the door for fear of their fellow Jews coming and, what were they going to do to them? That was the fear. They weren't sure. But prior to that, John also writes that upon visiting the tomb, the empty tomb, that he and Peter had not really realized that Jesus had to rise from the dead, which is an extraordinary thing to say that, and then to admit that where they had gone to with that was to retreat to a room and lock the door and come to terms with the fact that the person that they've been following for the last 3 years has been tortured and died before their very eyes. And what were they to do? And so the word fear appears here. And I think when we consider this going and being sent, if we were to say, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And if you insert your own names here and just read through that, I am sending you, and insert your name. How does that make you feel? Is there an element of apprehension about that, that he would actually be sending me? Anyone feel a certain sense of fear about that? I know at times I have, but this is where the disciples find themselves. But Jesus, knowing their fear, he enters the room, and he doesn't, the door isn't open for him, he walks straight through. There are no barriers to Jesus getting through to our places of fear. And he knows the need of the disciples at that moment, and he walks in and he says, peace be with you. What's the opposite of fear? It's peace. It's peace. And the message that he's wanting to send them out with is the gospel of peace. He wants to fit them with for them to be prepared with the shoes of the gospel of peace. And if they're full of fear, they're not going to do that. We're going to retreat into our room, lock the door and say, well, I'm safe here. But that's not the intent. Just as much as God sent his own son into the world, he now calls upon us and is wanting to send us out beyond the four walls. So we can learn a lot about this. But what I love about this is, even then, when he appears to them, it seems that they haven't recognized him. Perhaps they're so full of fear. But he then shows the scars on his hands and in his side and in his feet. And they recognize him at that moment. And it's as if to say that, you know what, your worst fears are what? That someone might kill you? Well, look, I've overcome even your worst fears. Here I am, I'm alive. I'm physically standing with you, and I can show you and attest to the fact that God, my Father, has raised me physically from the dead. So you too can have this hope in being sent, that he has risen and that he promises that he will raise us also from the dead. The other thing that he does, which I think is such a beautiful echo of the Garden of Eden, is that he breathes the Holy Spirit into them. So this is the Johannine, if you like, the theological word for impartation of the Holy Spirit before we get to the book of Acts. So it's rather interesting, isn't it, that Jesus has told the disciples to wait in Jerusalem for the Spirit to come. But we have this account by John of God breathing his peace, his ruach breath into them to impart his peace to them. And if we think back to the Garden of Eden, we get the same scene of God's breathing his Spirit into humanity and them coming alive. And this is almost a reenactment. I mean, this would not be lost on its Jewish readers. When they would read that he breathed on them, breathed the Spirit into them, this would be like a hyperlink to the story that they know of the Garden of Eden. And it would be a way for them to understand that this was a new kind of covenant relationship and life that was coming through the resurrected Christ, who is imparting it to them. And that's the same goes for us. The presence of God's Spirit in us upon faith and belief in Jesus Christ is the Spirit in which we're able to go, gives us that peace in being sent so that we're not overcome by fear. The second word that I identify is in the book of Acts, and it's concerning being witnesses. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And here we are, as far away from Jerusalem as you can kind of get in New Zealand, which is a real witness to the fact that others have gone. They have been sent and they have borne witness to the risen Christ, that you and I are sitting here today hearing this message ourselves. But I know that, and I'm sure that you may have had similar experiences, my forays into witnessing or sharing the good news of Jesus have been a mixed bag. I've had my moments. I remember in the early days when I was living and working in London and was a new believer, I do think there's a real sense of zeal that comes with new belief, and you can walk into some real maelstroms. And one of those situations was I worked in a advertising art studio with a couple of brothers who ran the business. And at the time, I don't remember, there was a book called The Holy Blood and the Holy Grail. It was written by three authors, one of whom I gather is a New Zealander, funnily enough. But these guys, they weren't believers, and they were very interested in this book, which purports, the theory is that Mary Magdalene was actually Jesus' wife, and it goes on from there. I don't want to go into it. But anyway, I guess because they were talking about this, I thought, oh, well, here's an opportunity to share my perspective. And it didn't go well. It was very, very difficult. And I came away feeling really quite flat and that I'd really blown it. But then there have been other occasions as I've gone along and grown in my faith where I ventured out to share my faith. And I think the key difference has been a sense of not doing it alone, but with the presence of the Holy Spirit helping me. And one of the key things, I think, which we forget about witnessing is it's not just about speaking, it's about listening. And I think that's been a really helpful thing for me is to, with sitting with another person, is just not to hit them with verses from the Bible or so forth, is to hear their story, try and understand what their life is, where they've been historically, where they currently are. And then the skill that comes, being led by the Spirit, is helping them to see their lives as somehow able to be woven into a larger story of God's story. And that's something that we, I think, learn as we just step back a bit with our own agendas and outcomes and allow the Spirit of God to flow in the moment relationally between this other person. How do they see things? What are their needs before we even open our own mouths? So witnessing can require being sent, going to another place, but it also requires that when we're with another person, that we listen, and that we also, what we share is relevant to the need that's presented before us. Drawing. Now, I've gone to, Sue mentioned the New King James Version this morning. It's not my go-to, I must admit, but I particularly wanted this translation because of the wording, because in a lot of the other translations of the Bible, they talk about, I think, maybe dragging or hauling the net up, but I want to use that word drawing because I feel it's important. Oh, that's good, because I've written it down here in my notes. So this is what it says in the New King James Version. And he said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you'll find some." So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it because of the multitude of fish. So this story comes not long after that scene in the room where the doors were locked. Peter decides that he's going to just sort of get on with things a little bit and decides to go out fishing. And he spends the night out in his boat with the other disciples, and there's not a sprat in the net. It's been a very unsuccessful night. And then Jesus appears on the shore and tells them that they need to cast their net to the other side of the boat. And when they do that, the amount of fish in there is such that they can barely draw the net to the boat. what we need to understand about being sent and being witnesses is that we just cannot do it without Jesus. It will just be in our own strength and our own wisdom. But when he says that he's the one that draws all men to himself, that's when he's raised up on the cross, and now that he's resurrected and at the right hand of the Father, it's he who saves and it's he who draws, but he wants to use us, and that he wants to participate with us, and that we are sent, that we are to witness to him, and that in doing that, people will be drawn to Christ. So it's really a combination of these three words, which are to be sent, to witness, and to draw. And as I looked at these and thought about them, I felt that it sort of led into the sentence, I'm sending you as my witnesses to others so that I may draw them to myself. And that's a way in which we can reach others with the good news of Jesus. So I'm going to ask Kate to come up now and share.
I love that line. I'm sending you as my witnesses to others that I may draw them to myself. Yeah. And again, like what Guy mentioned earlier about, you know, when we looked at last week to grow, we grow in partnership with the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit who works with us. We allow him, we open ourselves up to him, and he works in us so that we can grow to become like Jesus. And it's also a partnership with the Holy Spirit and others collectively, that we grow together in community as well. And the same is true for reaching. It's partnership with the Holy Spirit. Jesus gives us the Holy Spirit so that we can go and witness. And we all have the Holy Spirit together so that together we can go and witness and reach out to others. So important, so necessary, and so exciting. So a core value for us at Cornerstone Christian Church, as Guy said, is reaching. That we would reach beyond ourselves as part of the ongoing global commission. That as followers of Jesus, we are tasked and equipped, best bit, to share the good news of Jesus, of the reconciliation to the Father, to those within our circles of influence, to those within our community, and those around the world. We're called to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that we've been commanded to do. Now, obviously, we're all called, but we're not all called to do everything on our own. However, each one of us has a part to play in some way. Once again, the necessity of being a body, a community of faith, people of faith, which as we work together has the possibility of deeper and greater and more powerful reach. Now, the perfect example of reaching is Jesus. As we read in Philippians 2, because Jesus left heaven in all its perfection and its pure love, and he came to earth, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking up the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. You see, the Son of Man, Jesus, did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And like last week, when we spoke about growing and that there being a personal responsibility or a personal element and a corporate element to it, so again, we believe that there's a personal element and a corporate element to reaching. When you think about, in regards to personal reaching for yourself, you think about your family and you think about your friends, the network of people that you know. And you'll realise what a unique opportunity you will have to reach people who will possibly never have had the opportunity to hear about Jesus before or to hear about his church, his beautiful church, other than what the media portrays or other than what other people who have been hurt by the church have said about it before. You know, it was a real sober reminder to me the other day when I was sort of thinking about it. About 10 years ago, when we used to run holiday programs in our school holiday programs in our Valley Road property, so we're going back kind of 10 plus years, there were children there who knew nothing about Jesus, possibly apart from what they learnt in Bible in schools, when we were allowed to do Bible in schools back in those days. And we're so grateful that there are schools in our community that are open to people coming in and sharing. But not only did they not know anything about Jesus, but neither did their parents. I kind of quipped and made a sort of funny remark about something, and the parent just kind of looked really blankly. I've got no idea what you're talking about. It's like, wow. There are so many people in our spheres of influence who know nothing about Jesus. So we have the opportunity. I mean, how exciting is that? For who we know of Jesus, of what we learn of Jesus, what we've experienced of Jesus, we get the opportunity to share that with others who do not know. And like as Guy has said, we are the ones who, with the wisdom of God and the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, get to lean in to get to meet people, to learn about them, and with the Holy Spirit know what and how to speak into their lives, words of truth and life and hope. There's a lecture. I have an app where I do kind of a daily reading, listening, and it's called Lectio 365. And every day is different. However, it finishes with the same prayer every single day. And I think it's a really good prayer. It finishes off by saying, Father, help me to live this day to the full, being true to you in every way. Jesus, help me to give myself away to others, being kind to everyone I meet. Spirit, help me to love the lost, proclaiming Christ in all I do and say. And I find this really helpful because there are times where you find yourself knowing that we are called to share the love and faith of Jesus with others, but we ask how. How can we do that? And this is it. Help me to live, Jesus. Help, Father. Help me to live being true to what your word says. Help me to live to be faithful to you. So that might mean that there might be times where we have to do things and that we might have to say things that are keeping true to the word of Jesus. Or it might mean that we don't do things and we won't say things because that helps us to be true to the Father. Help us to give ourselves away to others. That's quite challenging. That's when we're considering and preferring others over ourselves. You know, that could be something big, but it also could be something small. I mean, something very simple the other day when we were sitting down having a cup of coffee at a cafe and there was someone, a woman with a pram trying to get out. You know, it was kind of awkward for her to do that. Just getting up and opening up the door, a really simple thing of showing kindness to another. On that one as well, I remember saying to the Lord quite a while ago, Lord, because I used to walk around town and I used to pray, how can I show, what can I do to show kindness to people? Or what can I show, even though what can I do? And I really felt like he was saying to me, smile at people, acknowledge people, look people in the eye and smile. And I decided to add for myself to say hello, because it's kind of a little bit weird, kind of going, instead of smiling at people, you know, like, what's that about? Saying hi, good morning, morena, whatever it might be. But, and so I did that, and, you know, sometimes it's a little bit awkward, but actually I really enjoy doing it now. And I took some time afterwards, like, why have you asked me to do that? Why have you asked me to do that? Why, you know, kind of being kind to someone? Because you're seeing someone, and you're acknowledging their presence. And what an act of kindness that is to acknowledge someone. You know, most of us do. We either walk with our heads down, some people do, or on their phone, you know, head down like this. But to sort of acknowledge and say hello to people. And I've kind of sparked off some really interesting conversations. You know, how are you? How's your day going? You know, that's what they've asked me from that. So, of course, I have to stop and I have to chat and, converse. And it's been, I mean, nothing apart from that has kind of happened, but it's just like, how cool, I've had this interaction with someone, and in a way, I kind of feel like I've been able, you know, and I'll leave them, if I've done that, you know, bless you, kind of say, and walk away. You know, how cool is that? That's a really cool thing to do. Spirit, help me to love the lost, proclaiming Christ in all I do and say. is the way that I'm behaving, is the way that I am being, proclaiming Christ. It's not just in my words, it's in my actions, it's in my demeanor. So if we struggle with kind of sharing and reaching beyond ourselves with our words maybe, then I encourage you to pray this prayer, to consider these things. Is what I'm doing, is the way that I'm being amongst others, is this honoring to God? Am I being true to God? People ask questions, people notice things. Are we being kind to others? Imagine that you have, if you sort of took the time to consider the people in your sphere, in your workplaces, or in your, you know, in your neighborhood, literally your neighbors. How is it that you being you can be the one to show the love or the peace or the power or the presence of Christ? It's a really good question to ask. It's something to ponder and to pray about. And then we have our corporate. While reaching is a core value for our church, it's also a core value of the global church. It's a mandate of the church to go and make disciples of all nations, to reach out to those who do not yet know God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. There are two verses which I have, which I kind of find really helpful, and that I have kind of, yeah, that as I guess as a church, when I can look back and see that have kind of helped shape us in terms of our corporate reaching. The first one is found in Matthew 25, 31 to 46. And I will read it out to you. It says, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. And all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you look after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me.' And then the righteous will answer him and say, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?' The king will reply, 'Truly, I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of your brothers or sisters, you did for me.'" So there's that scripture. And then we have Romans 10:14 and 10:17. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they've not yet heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching and of added teaching, sharing with them? Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. So Jesus came to teach and to preach and to serve and to give his life. So from these two scriptures, we can see that we're called to share and to teach about Jesus, that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and that there is no other way to the Father than through him. And we're called to show people the love and the way of Jesus as we come alongside them, meeting them at their point of need. And doing so opens the door, and we have the opportunity of sharing the truth of Jesus. And of course, we can do this personally, but we also can do this corporately. So here at Cornerstone, with those kind of two scriptures being kind of part of our foundation, part of our thinking, we do share the good news of Jesus beyond these four walls. We have rest home services that we get the privilege to go in once a month. There are school programs. And we're, again, as I've said, we are so privileged to have the opportunity to go into some schools here in Waiuku and Awhitu. the opportunity to speak at school assemblies for different, you know, for you know, Christmas and Easter, but also Anzac. Having holiday programs, Gampismo, Susie up the peninsula with Gampismo for the folk up at Ifitu. Intentionally, when we invite friends and the wider community to Christmas and Easter events, as well as other reasons that we have, opportunities to invite people in. And also as we support our missionaries, so incredibly important. I know they're kind of last on the list, but really almost the top, because they are the ones who are at the coalface, often in places of danger, where they openly and willingly preach and share the word of God with others. And while we may not be there with them, we do support them through our giving, through our prayers, and through our contact with them. So that's where we share the gospel and we proclaim it. But then we also have the sharing and the caring when we come along. Like, when, Jesus, were you hungry and we fed you? What a privilege to be part of the Waiku Food Bank. And I'm looking back in Lynn's book and realising that it was actually one of the previous pastors from this church who established the food bank. And he also established Waiku Family Support. So great work of going in and meeting people where they are in need. And the opportunities that we have there to not only to give food, to give finances and resources there, but to meet people as parcels are being delivered, meeting and again smiling at people, saying what a gift it is to be able to serve you here and give out food parcels. We have our table, this wonderful flourishing lunch that we have on a Thursday morning, Thursday lunchtime. Sort of our lowest numbers really kind of in the early 20s, our highest number we've got up quite high, but fortunately not too often in up in the late 20s, but we sort of sit around 25, where it's open to anyone and everyone within the community and the opportunity to sit down, and we've become friends, it's a little family, but there's always room at the table for more, to be able to love and share with food. And again, you know, in that, there are people who can't be at our table because they work. So people, you know, contribute. They're part of it through their prayer, but through their finances, because all these things need to be resourced. So incredibly grateful. And then we have the Alpha Marriage Course as well, which we run, where, again, it's open to anyone in our community. And it is openly Christian. You know, and it's encouraging people, meeting them in their place of need in their marriages as well. Not all of us can be part of everything, but we all have a part to play, so that ultimately, as Guy said, the Father may draw people to himself. We offer ourselves, we offer our skills and our talents, our time and our resource, whatever it is that we might have, so that people can come to know the loving, saving, powerful grace of Jesus. So what might it look like for you to be reaching? Now, there's a good chance that for many of you, you are involved in reaching, whether it's within your sphere of influence or whether it's part of what we do here at Cornerstone or part of other agencies. And if that's you, I want to thank you so much for who you are and for your obedience and your willingness to reach beyond yourself. But there may be some of us who are sitting here kind of going, what might it look like for me? What might it look like for me to reach out to others? So may I suggest three things? Pray, to consider, and then to participate. So to pray. Pray for opportunities to share your faith and your hope in Jesus. And what does that look like? And I guess come back as well. Be ready to, the Bible talks about being ready to give an account of what you believe. And I think for me that was a really good thing to actually sit down and consider. If I was to share my faith, what might it look like? Kind of writing it out. It got me thinking. It got it going in my head. It got me going with my hand. And then I kind of talked it out a little bit. It doesn't mean to say that that's the script that I use every time, but it kind of helps give me a foundation to what I want to be able to share. What might your story be? What might it look like for you to share about Jesus? Obviously, and Guy picked up on this as well, you know, the fact that we need to learn to listen to people, you know, rather than kind of jumping in. It's learning to listen to them and to their story and where things are at, and then also listening to what the Holy Spirit, and again, because we don't do this on our own, we ask, we invite, implore, but we don't need to do that. We open ourselves up to the Holy Spirit, so the Holy Spirit will help us to know what to say, and to be wise with what it is that we get to say and what we get to share. Yeah, praying for wisdom and discernment on these things. So praying is so important. It's so foundational. You know that. I know that. But then consider too, you know, when opportunities do arise, and they do often, what might my role be? What might it be that I could have to bring to the table? What might it be in this circumstance? Now, there may be something, there may not be, and that's okay. Okay, you can't be in everything and doing everything, but you might be able to go, hey, I could actually do this, or this really interests me. I'd like to be involved with this, but I don't know how. Quite a few years ago, 20 years ago, a friend of ours, Earl, decided that he wanted to go to Russia. And he wanted to go. He'd been to hear somebody involved in, a woman who was involved in working with street kids, and he wanted to go. So we all, kind of pretty much the church at the time, got behind Earl, and we helped him to fundraise. We helped him, you know, with anything that we could to get him there. We were praying for him. And do you know what? I felt like I went to Russia. I really did. I felt like we were there, and it was just so exciting that he was there, and then, you know, that getting behind. So we're part of it, even though we don't go. We were able to give a few dollars here. We were able to pray for him and do the things that we could do. But being part of it, supporting it, is so incredibly, you know, such a foundational and such a necessary thing. So what can we do in the moment? We don't need to overreach. We just need to bring what we have. So, yeah, it could be bringing your gifts or your talents or your time. But it also might be that, for example, say, I'm just using an example, the Alpha Marriage Course, you've done it. You don't necessarily need to do it again, but you've got friends. Hey, it would be really great if I could invite them along. Yeah, so you're the one who's pointing them in this direction, which will ultimately point them towards God. Or is it that someone else is doing something that you really love and you really do, and again, you can't be part of it, but you're going to go up and say, hey, how's that going? I want to hear what's happening in this ministry, how you're reaching out, what is it that's really exciting, you encourage and you support and be part of. And then it is to step into whatever it is that you're called to participate in, wherever it might be and whatever it might be that you have to offer. Remembering again that we don't do it in our own strength. We do it empowered and equipped by the Holy Spirit. So as we finish up this morning, may I encourage you to do those three things, to pray, to consider, to participate. We're called to reach our community. We're called to reach our friends. We're called to reach beyond our borders. What might our part be? What might our part be? So to pray, to consider, and then to look where you might be able to participate alongside others. Because there's pretty much always room for more people to pray, to help, to love, to serve, to resource, and to encourage in some form or other. And so, as we go from this place, blessed to be a blessing, can I pray this blessing upon you? May the Lord continue to bless you and keep you, and make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May you know his face turn towards you, giving you peace. And may you choose to seek him with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. And may you live loved by God every day. Amen. Amen.